Today we plan to go through Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 27, the New Jerusalem. Now, Sue and I took a trip to Toronto a number of years ago. It's a clean city, safe, well-planned, impressive, but it is nothing like the city that we're going to see today, called the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is our eternal home, often referred to as heaven. If you've lost any loved ones in Christ, this is a very encouraging passage for you. Background for this passage is the upcoming period of tribulation, still to take place yet, followed by Christ's visible return, and then the millennial kingdom, after which a final battle takes place, followed by the great white throne judgment, and finally the eternal state. That's the lake of fire for unbelievers, and it's the New Jerusalem, or heaven, for believers. In today's passage, we're going to zero in on six attributes of the New Jerusalem, the eternal home for believers. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read the first three verses of this passage, which highlight the first attribute that we'll be looking at, glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to go through this incredible passage, and I pray that you'd increase our faith and that you would give us hope, kindle up hope in us. Pray for a special time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So attribute number one of the New Jerusalem is glory. We see in verse 11, having the glory of God. Now this whole passage, these three verses, John's approached by one of the seven angels who had poured out one of the seven bowls of judgment. And now he, John, is transported spiritually to a great and high mountain, it says. And from this great and high mountain, he's given an awesome vantage point to help him behold the glory of the New Jerusalem. In verse 9, the New Jerusalem is referred to as the bride, the Lamb's wife, bringing to mind purity, intimacy, and faithfulness. The city and its inhabitants, believers, are the bride of Christ. We're going to be with Christ forever. What an amazing thought. How glorious. In verse 10, the New Jerusalem is called the great city. It's the eternal dwelling place of God's people, and it is great. The Greek word is megas, and it means exceedingly great, megas. It's also holy, unlike its counterpart, that other city, Babylon, the great prostitute in Revelation. Babylon is humanity without God, completely unfaithful. Whereas the New Jerusalem is redeemed humanity with God, completely faithful. It descends from heaven, this incredible city, and it's from God. It's not a work of man. Babylon was a work of man. It was a work of self-effort. The New Jerusalem is a work of grace. It's from God. It's from heaven. Then verse 11, it has the glory of God. It's interesting. Note the reference in verse 11 to her light. The New Jerusalem is a she, the bride of Christ. Her light is like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone. A jasper stone is diamond-like. It's completely clear. The brilliant light of God's glory shines in the New Jerusalem and from the New Jerusalem. So we see the glory of God. That's attribute number one. Now for attribute number two, which is safety/stability. A two-word attribute, safety/stability. Verses 12 to 14. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So John notes that the wall of the New Jerusalem, it's great and it's high. A wall in ancient times would speak of greatness and safety. This wall represents the ultimate in greatness and the ultimate in safety. The gates as well are great and they're safe. In fact, as per verse 12, the gatekeepers are angels. Can't be much safer than that. The symmetry of the gates, three gates on each side, it's peaceful, not chaotic. So even the architecture, it's peaceful, it's not chaotic. The wall of the city has 12 foundations. It's layered, it's strong, and it's stable. The names of the 12 apostles are on the foundations. So God commemorates the foundational role of the apostles and of their teaching by having their names written on the foundations of the wall. Can't be more stable than that. If you have an unstable life, build it on the foundation of the apostles. Take the word of God into your heart. Put it into practice by the grace of God. So we see eternal safety, and we see eternal stability. Everyone wants a safe home, and here we see the ultimate in safety. Everyone wants a stable home, and here we see the ultimate in stability. And it's for God's people. The gates are etched with Old Testament tribes, the names of them. The foundations with the New Testament apostles. God's people, Old Testament and New Testament, faithful unto him. They are with him through all eternity. People pay a lot for home security systems. Here's the ultimate in home security, and it's free. It's a free gift from God. Now, on a personal note, just as the gates have Old Testament tribes on them, our gateway personally to faith is the Old Testament promises, the law, the Old Testament as a whole, because they point us to Christ. They drive us to Christ as a schoolmaster drives us. Without law, we really can't understand grace very well. So the gate's very significant. Also, just as the foundations have the apostles written on them, our foundational stability is the apostles and their teaching. Putting that into practice, building our lives on that. So we see attribute number one, glory. Attribute number two, safety/stability. Attribute number three, holiness. Verses 15 to 18. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Now, gold represents a number of things. It represents purity, beauty, value, and also holiness. The city we see in verse 18, it is of pure gold. Imagine that. Only the best for the Lamb's bride. Even the reed, which is used to measure the city, like a yardstick, it's made of gold, according to verse 15. Now, the reason why, personally, I believe holiness appears to be the major theme of these few verses right here. Look at the dimensions of the city. 12,000 furlongs. That's 1,400 miles long, wide, and high. So it's a perfect cube. The length, the width, the height. A perfect cube, an immense cube. Well, the most holy place in the Jewish temple, the Holy of Holies, was also a perfect cube. It was 30 feet on each side, length, width, height. This here is the ultimate Holy of Holies. And it's like something extending from Ann Arbor to Miami, Florida, roughly 1,400 miles, in length, in width, and in height. And we have access. The Holy of Holies was only for the high priest and just once a year. But we have access and we have eternal access. What an amazing thought. Now it's interesting that we measure that, or we tend to measure that which is ours. This is God's city. It belongs to Him. He's having His angel measure it. And He's going to give believers the privilege of dwelling there. The vast holiness of God fills the entire city. God is dwelling with redeemed humanity. What an amazing thought. The measurement of the wall, probably its thickness, is 144 cubits, according to verse 17. Roughly 200 feet. And it says here it's given in, you know, angel cubits, which are the same as man's cubits. Picture a wall 200 feet thick of pure jasper, diamond-like. And the city itself is of gold. It's like clear glass. It's somehow transparent, and it's obviously stunning. So purity, vast holiness, and of course beauty. We see a number of things here. And that brings us to attribute number four, which is beauty slash value. So we looked at glory, we looked at safety and stability, we looked at holiness, and now we look at beauty slash value. Verses 19 to 21. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. So the wall has 12 layered foundations. There was a statement by Alan Johnson, a scholar. He said this. He said, Jerusalem's first century walls and foundation stones have recently been excavated. Huge stones, some of which are about 5 feet wide, 4 feet high, and 30 feet long, weighing 80 to 100 tons each, and going down some 14 to 19 layers below the ground level have been found. What an amazing structure the first century temple was. Think how much more amazing the eternal temple will be and the eternal city will be. So the first foundation, jasper, that's clear. The second is sapphire, that's beautiful blue. The third, chalcedony, that's sky blue or possibly green or greenish blue with colored stripes. The fourth is emerald, that's bright green. The fifth is sardonyx, that's red and white. The sixth is sardius, that's beautiful red. Orange red, brownish red, or blood red. And the seventh is chrysolite. That's golden yellow. The eighth is beryl. That's sea green or aquamarine blue. The ninth is topaz. That's transparent yellow green. The tenth is chrysoprase. That's apple green. The 11th is jacinth. That's beautiful violet. And the 12th is amethyst. That's beautiful purple. So we see beauty and value, as well as safety and stability. This wall is resting on an amazing foundation. It is strong, deep, and yet also beautiful and extremely valuable. Our eternal home is not only strong and safe, it is beautiful and valuable. Let's remember that. So John enters this remarkable city. Each of the 12 gates is a giant pearl, hence the term the pearly gates. The streets are pure gold. The asphalt of heaven is pure gold. And this gold is like transparent glass reflecting God's glory. So we see these various attributes: glory, safety / stability, holiness, beauty / value. Then number five, God's presence. Verses 22 and 23. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So John sees no temple in the New Jerusalem. The temple would represent the place of meeting with God. Why no temple? Because the entire city is filled with God's presence. It's one huge holy of holies, the most holy place of the temple. We'll be seeing the Lord face to face throughout eternity. There is no sun. There's no moon. Instead, the glory of God will be our light source. The Lamb himself will be our light of heaven. We will be in perfect fellowship with God the Father and with God the Son. So we see glory, safety and stability, holiness, beauty / value, God's presence, and then attribute number six, purity. Verses 24 to 27. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. What purity! Incredible purity. The nations of those who are saved, so redeemed humanity, shall walk in its light. What does it mean to walk in its light? John, the same author, says this about the whole idea of walking in the light. He says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, written a few years before Revelation, or a number of years before Revelation. Here's what he says: but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So walking in the light, it's ongoing. We're to walk, continue to walk in the light. It's ongoing. It's also Christ-like. It says, as he is in the light. So it's Christ-like. It's Christ-focused. He's our example. We follow after him. It also involves fellowship with one another. It's relational. So we have fellowship with one another as a reflection of our fellowship with the Lord. And then lastly, it involves continual cleansing from sin. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So continual cleansing from sin. So we're becoming increasingly pure. That's what it means to walk in the light as far as on this side of eternity. So here we are walking in the light on the other side of eternity. And we'll have perfect bodies and we'll have no sin around us and no sin in us, no flesh in us that wars against the things of the Spirit. And so we'll be walking in the light in purity, wonderful purity. Now the kings of the earth, it says here in verse 24, those are the leaders of redeemed humanity. They shall bring glory and honor into the city. And it's obviously to be laid before God. And nothing dishonorable is brought in. We see here also that the gates are never shut in verse 25. In ancient times, gates would be shut in times of danger or at night. But here there's no danger. There's no Satan, no evil, no sin, no death, and there is no night. The gates are always open, and nothing bad shall enter. Only what is glorious and honorable. Imagine that. It's always daytime in the New Jerusalem. Apparently there's no need for sleep. Nothing wears down. There's no entropy. Going from order to disorder, there's no entropy. There's only order. And it's beautiful. Recreation. And it never slows down. It never becomes more chaotic. Currently, we deal with light and darkness in both a physical sense, day and night, and in a spiritual sense, good and evil. In heaven, or in the New Jerusalem, we'll deal with only light, the pure light of God's presence, both in a physical sense, only day, no night, and in a spiritual sense, only good, no evil. What an amazing experience that will be. Verse 27 gets very specific. Nothing that defiles shall enter, so no sin. No abomination shall enter, so nothing detestable. Nothing that can make the city desolate, like the abomination of desolation earlier in Revelation. No lie shall enter, so no untruths, no half-truths, no father of lies, Satan himself. And no whispering in our ears. Has God really said? Hath he really said that? Did he really mean that? I think he can stretch things a little bit. It also says that those, only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, believers, shall enter. What an amazing place, the New Jerusalem. It's a place of purity. Personal application. We'll go through each one of these attributes and just ask some reflective questions. Regarding glory, that was attribute number one. As a glorious bride, if you're a believer in Christ, you're part of the bride of Christ. As a glorious bride, are you making yourself ready? Are you cultivating faithfulness and Christ-likeness? By the power of the Holy Spirit and His grace working in you? Are you inviting God's glory into every area of your life? It's like, Lord, here's an area where I don't think I'm bringing you glory. Please come in and take over. Help me to bring you glory in areas where I'm weak. Regarding safety and stability, that was attribute number two. Are you finding your safety in God, in His promises, in His continuous presence? Are you trusting in Him to protect you, to grant wisdom, to provide for you, to fulfill His promises? Are you cultivating stability by building your life on the foundation of the apostles' teaching? Safety and stability. Regarding attribute number three, holiness. Are you getting ready for eternity in the ultimate holy of holies? Are you living in light of future holiness, being made perfectly holy? Are you repenting of anything that fails to represent his holiness? It's just not fitting for who we are or where we're going. We need to put those things aside, those sins of the flesh and other things we cling to so easily. Let's repent of them, put them aside, confess them, receive cleansing, walking in the light. Regarding beauty / value, when you consider the value of what we see here, the precious stones, the gold, do you see yourself as valuable? Despite your past sin, despite your past wrong turns, despite mishaps, despite abuse or accidents, do you see yourself as valuable? Christ died for you. He paid a huge price for you. That means he sees you as worth a whole lot. The price of the blood of his son. And the Lord himself is preparing for you a beautiful place, a valuable place, because he sees you as beautiful and valuable. Regarding God's presence, attribute number 5, there's no sun, there's no moon in the New Jerusalem. So the light of God and of the Lamb, we see the awesome presence of God. In light of all of that, are you cultivating close fellowship with the Father at this time? Attribute number 5 was God's presence. Are you cultivating close fellowship with the Father at this time? Are you spending time each day hearing him speak through his word? It's not just a formula book, or it's not at all a formula book, the Bible. It is God's word, him speaking directly to you, if you have ears to hear, and I have ears to hear. So are you spending time each day hearing him speak through his word? Are you learning how to pray? Cultivating a wonderful, intimate prayer life. So that was God's presence. And lastly, regarding purity, we see redeemed humanity walking in the light in this New Jerusalem. Are you learning how to walk in the light? Remember, walking in the light involved an ongoing aspect. So are you getting up again? After you stumble, are you getting up again? Ongoing, walking in the light, continuing in him. There's no groveling, or there's not to be any groveling in the body of Christ. If we mess up or someone else messes up, we get back up again. We receive his grace. Forgiveness, if need be. Receive his grace. Get back up again. Also, walking in light, it says, as he is in the light. So are you following after Christ, focusing in on him, becoming more Christ-like, more Christ-focused? Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Make me into the kind of person you want me to be. And then a person who walks in the light, there's fellowship with one another. So are you cultivating fellowship with other believers as a reflection of our fellowship with the Lord? That means no divisions over senseless things or minor issues. No divisions over them. We bear with each other in our weaknesses and in our warts and in all our imperfections. Are we bearing with one another? Are we forgiving one another? When someone hurts us, are we forgiving them? Are we praying for one another? Are we serving one another? Are we fellowshipping together? And lastly, regarding the walking in the light, talked about the blood of Christ cleansing us from all sin. So are you experiencing continual cleansing from sin, becoming increasingly pure? Is there some impurity that you're clinging to somehow or somehow refusing to receive forgiveness? Receive forgiveness. Become more pure. Show the world what God has done in your life and is doing in your life and what he's going to make you into. The New Jerusalem. It is awesome. It's breathtaking to think about it. So Sue and I enjoyed Toronto. It holds nothing. No candle to the New Jerusalem. We look forward to it. It gives us hope. Gives us a focus. We have a wonderful future. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I do pray that you'd well up within us faith and hope. Lord, help us to walk in the light. And Lord, to transparently live, abiding in you, becoming more like you, fellowshipping with you and with one another. I thank you, Lord, for the place that you've prepared or are preparing for us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that you value us and you love us so much. Thank you for this time in your word, this marvelous time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.